The scripture today comes from Matthew 13:31-33, Bible page 847. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough.
Thanks, Francis. Thanks, choir. And it's a good thing that we are a progressive Baptist church and not like some of those others, because not only did I see some foot tapping back here and out there, but I saw some of you moving both feet. And in some places, that's dancing. How many times have you wondered when something important for you would happen? Perhaps you were waiting on a letter or an important package, and you just didn't know when it was going to arrive, and you wondered, will it ever get here? Perhaps it was to hear from a job interview, and you waited anxiously, wondering, when am I going to hear? When am I going to hear? Maybe it was something like, how much longer till Christmas, Mommy or Daddy? Perhaps it's even, are we going to run over today? When's this sermon going to be over with? Now, while we don't often hear the phrase, in due time, that's something that typically was used in an earlier time for some of us. We don't hear it much today, but we do, in our own way, say it. Oh, it'll happen, just wait. It will come when it's time. It will happen to be the right time when it occurs. Just wait on God's timing. All of those, in their own way, are saying, in due time, that for which you're waiting will come. But to be quite honest, we often do not really want to hear this because we don't want to have to wait, right? We want it now. Digress for a moment here, but every year Beloit College in Minnesota puts out a list of things that entering freshmen will either have never been without or will think have always been, or other things. And number two on that list of things this year, and there's close, there's like 75 different things. Number two is that with current college freshmen and high school students, and I'm finding with folks just a shade older than that, but not as old as this dinosaur, email is no longer being used because it's too slow. People text and they tweet. And that's not like Rockin' Robin. There's some kind of thing you can do with your phone and they call it Twitter. Don't ask me. I can't tell. But we don't want to wait. We certainly don't want to hear in due time. But sometimes in the past, they didn't want to hear in due time either. Sometimes in the past, folks wanted it now. The verses today contain a very often quoted part of the scripture, that parable of the mustard seed, and one that we do not often think about, or so we might imagine, the parable of the yeast or the leaven. And usually, if we think about the yeast or the leaven and refer to it. We refer to it when something bad has happened because it's just, we say it in our own way, or we used to. One bad apple spoils a whole bunch. That's right. A little bit of leaven will affect the whole. These parables speak to hope, though. They speak to the hope that in due time, God's kingdom will be visibly known and present. Now, while these two parables are both found in all three of the synoptic gospels, that's Mark, Matthew, and Luke, Matthew's version is really a combination of the two that we find in Mark and Luke. Matthew combines them. Both of these stories contrast small, insignificant beginnings with great endings, with something much larger than expected to take place. I'm not talking about eating too much food. That new order, the kingdom of God being ushered in by Jesus, begins small, but eventually will extend to all the world and to all nations and throughout the universe, whether we realize it or not. And I said throughout the universe because a few years ago there was a Jesuit priest who decided that he was going to start an institute to prepare to share the gospel with E.T. when he finally comes here and we see him. He said, there's got to be people on other planets, and so when they get here, we've got to share the good news with them, and we've got to know how to speak their language. Kind of odd, I thought. Yeah. In due time, though, the kingdom of God will be present, Jesus says. The problem is, oftentimes we think in due time means we've got to wait till way off in the future. But Jesus talks about the kingdom of God being present even now. It is due time when Jesus comes and brings that about. New Testament scholar Joachim Jeremias notes the major difference, though, in what Jesus brings and how it is announced compared with the expectations that the people had then and sometimes the expectations you and I have even today. Jeremias writes, and I quote, "How differently the beginnings of the Messianic age announced by Jesus appeared than was commonly expected. Could this wretched band, comprising so many disreputable characters, be the wedding guests of God's redeemed community? Yes, says Jesus, it is." End of quote. The kingdom that Jesus was announcing, though beginning small, was not just for the elite. That kingdom was for those who seemed small, who seemed insignificant in and of themselves. In other words, people like me and like others in this place. And Jesus said, yes, that is the community. That is the kingdom of God. The mustard plant was cultivated for its seeds and for food. As you know, we've mentioned it before, the seed was very, very tiny, but it grew into a large bush taller than a horse and rider. And birds oftentimes nested in it, and they came to eat the seeds. However, the mustard plant was not a garden plant. The Mishnah, the Jewish Mishnah, stated that the mustard seeds were never to be planted in a garden, but out in fields because they will overrun the garden. Almost sounds like mimosa trees. G.A. Buttrick writes, "There shall be mighty growth from small beginnings. How small was the seed? A babe born into a harsh world. a teacher on a hillside, a condemned man slain on a shameful cross, an empty grave, and 11 men believing in Him. Although I think Judas believed as well. What a tiny seed in a vast alien field. How could such a seed ever come to harvest? Jesus' story rebukes our cult of bigness. Our human life is small. It is a series of small breaths, a sequence of footsteps, a frail chain of words. It is worth noticing that Jesus preferred a cult of smallness, for He stressed a cup of cold water only and faithfulness in that which is the least. And in due time, that smallness can grow and can become something so overwhelming that the darkness cannot extinguish it. This parable gave reassurance of God's working and of God's abounding hope for people. Something that the early disciples needed and something about which we need to be reminded. They were seeds cast upon a vast world, one in which they could easily become overwhelmed. And what could they do? Quite frankly, very little in and of themselves. But God could do great things through them in due time if they would just listen and if they would just truly follow. We too should live with great expectancy. Not in what God can do through others while we sit back and watch, but in what can be done with and through us if we respond openly and regularly to God. Saying yes to the nominating committee, but doing more than that. Then responding in how we perform those duties that we have agreed to do. God wants to do things through us as individuals and as the church. But He wants to do those things not just within these walls, but in us and through us into the world outside of this place. As we work together, as we seek to be faithful, things will happen in due time. The twin to this brief parable is another, actually, much shorter one in Matthew's version. That is the parable of the leaven or yeast. This parable, in some ways, is actually more striking than that of the mustard seed. After all, leaven was used as a symbol of something unclean by almost all of Judaism. It was seen as something unclean. What's leaven? Leaven is yeast. What's yeast? Yeast is mold. What do we try to do with mold? Clean it up. We even toss out that medicine bread. You know, that's the bread with the green penicillin mold growing on it. But for almost all of Judaism and for early Christianity, leaven or yeast, that mold, was something that was unclean. In some instances, seen as evil. And you know, mold can spread pretty quickly. And yeast can work fairly quickly if we allow it. And sometimes it's hard to get rid of. I know I ended the sentence with a preposition, and that's not right, but I was trying to figure how to get that sentence out and not have a preposition at the end. In this parable, though, there is a small amount of leaven in three measures of dough. Three full measures of flour. Some say that this means three seahs, which is a bushel. A little bit of flour in three bushels a little bit of leaven in 3 bushels of flour. While others think that the 3 measures are a normal amount for baking, in which case it speaks of baking large amounts of bread for daily life. But the leaven hidden in the dough causes what to happen? Just a little pinch of yeast in the dough, kneaded into the dough, sit at the side, what happens? That's right, it rises. It expands. It expands. What does Jesus, though, mean by leaven hidden in the dough? New Testament writer Ben Witherington thinks that Jesus is talking about His unclean, by others' standards, His unclean message about the kingdom. A message that embraced the marginalized. A message that included those who were seen as outcasts by the religious elite as part of the kingdom. And part of that which will make the kingdom grow. You see, quite frankly, there are more common folk in the world than there are elite folk in the world. That message about the kingdom of God is one in which normal human rules don't apply. And that message being hidden means that Jesus is saying that message will grow quickly, if allowed, within those who seem to be the marginalized and the ordinary and the common. But when they grow into the kingdom, they will be extraordinary. Human barriers are left behind. And in due time, we can truly be fulfilled and be fulfilling for the kingdom of God. The kingdom, you see, is often imperceptible, like yeast. But the kingdom is also to be dynamic, like yeast. Buttrick notes, and I quote, "The leaven does not work, though, if held aloof." That means outside. Does it? Bread going to rise if you keep the yeast away? No. The Christian faith has no true monastic heart. That means being alone. The Christian might identify himself, S-I-C, might identify himself with the world and its stubborn life and there work by contagion, even though his life may be apparently lost. The kingdom works by contagion in day-by-day friendships. End of quote. The kingdom is not something that can be held aloof. If you are indeed part of the kingdom grows by contagion. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And it brings lightness and wholeness to the world where there is any. Buttrick further writes, and I quote, "This rebukes our cult of noise. Advertising does not truly help the church unless it is as reverent as the gospel. And sensationalism can just as easily be a curse. The big booming forces will pass. The seed and the leaven will remain." End of quote. And you and I are here in our own way to bring leaven to the world, to cause change, one person at a time, and one friendship at a time. I want to close with 2 stories. In the first one, a little girl approached her father, who was in his study, working on his sermon. She asked him timidly after a few minutes, "Daddy, can we play?" He said, "Well, we can't right now, but we can when I'm finished." She said, "Okay, Daddy. When you're finished, I'm going to give you a big, big hug, and then we can play." She turned to go out of the study and got to the doorway and stopped and turned around and ran back and jumped up in her father's lap, wrapped her arms around his neck, and squeezed hard and went, and then got down. Her father looked at her and said, "Honey, you said you were going to give me a big hug when I finished." And she looked back and said, "Daddy, I just wanted you to know what you had to look forward to." That little action for something big later on. Small expressions of love and compassion give people of faith, and sometimes those not of faith, hope. Hope to see that in due time God will redeem God's creation, even within and even through us. The other story is told by writer Bruce Thielman. And he tells of a flight that he was on to Europe. He sat beside an older lady who obviously was very, very nervous. "Is this your first flight?" he asked. "No," she said, "I'm always nervous when I fly, but it won't be bad this trip." He said, "Why not? What's different about this trip than any other?" She looked at him and said, "Because we're flying into the morning, we're flying toward the dawn." These two parables in Matthew help us when we see little fruit for our own efforts, when we grapple with disappointments and setbacks, when we feel insignificant, and when we wonder if anything will truly ever happen. But faith holds on to the promise of fulfillment that in due time things will happen. And faith lives toward that time, that due time, each and every day, as the small seed within us, the little leaven that we are, grows the kingdom of God into the world in due time. May we pray? Our gracious God, help us to be the leaven because of that small seed of faith that we have found within us. Help us to allow it to grow so much that we can no longer contain it, that we smile and have joy when we come to places of worship, that we offer to You our joy in our lives, that as we leave we might share that same joy in due time. We offer these prayers to You in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn is 676, "O Jesus, I Have Promised." As we sing, as we raise our voices, as we offer our leaven to God's world, our altar is open for any decision that you might make for God's kingdom. Hymn number 676, "O Jesus, I Have Promised."